Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
But, you know, Bo Nix is a guy that was tied to the Saints. I don't know where would Bo go, in the second round, maybe the third round. That's what I'm thinking. A guy like Michael Penix or Bo Nix will go somewhere in the, what, third or fourth round, depending on who likes these people. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll have to see. But thanks, Mark, for the question, man. Are the offensive linemen doing anything? Well, right now, man, we got the progress report on our offensive line, right? We don't have a left tackle, right? We know Andrus P, who's playing left tackle, is going to be a free agent. So we have to find that guy. The left guard position is Hurst, who is deteriorating fast. That has to be replaced. You can't go in. You got to find a left tackle. You got to find a left guard. You have McCoy at center. You have Ruiz at right guard. And right tackle, Ramczyk had minor surgery on his knee. They're saying he should be ready for camp. I'm saying, still and all, you still should get somebody else as well. I wouldn't trust that, because he needs major surgery on that knee and he keeps prolonging it, getting a minor surgery, cleaning whatever it is out of there, and then getting ready for the season. I think that's a mistake. I think that man need to go and handle his business and take care of himself before he can't walk. And somebody need to tell him that. People done told him that. He just do what he want to do. So He'll pay for it in the end when he gets old. J-Rock says, here's my top five destinations for Michael Thomas. The Broncos, okay. Chiefs, Ravens, Texans, Lions. Okay, that's pretty good. I can see the Broncos. I can see the Chiefs. I really could. The Ravens, that's interesting. The Texans, and I can see the Lions. I will move the Lions up a little closer because obvious ties with, you know, Campbell and all those guys. But that's pretty good, J-Rock. All right, Jack says, Tyler Boyd. I'm thinking, if the money is right, that's not a bad call. Ava says, Carolina really need receivers possible. Landon, if he's pissed at the organization, he's definitely pissed with the organization, so you might have a point right there. All right. Don't count out Mike Williams. Okay, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Brian says, Thomas and Winston, when their careers are over, they retire as Saints. Michael, I don't know. I don't know if Jameis retires as a Saint. I don't know if he retires as a Saint. I don't know. I know Michael Thomas does, because I don't think Michael Thomas is going to have a bigger career wherever he goes versus where he came from. You know, I think he's a guy that's going to eventually retire as a Saint or come back as a Saint. You know what I'm saying? I do like that. All right. Oh, Jamie, what's up? Jamie says, Saints need Odell Beckham Jr. He really good player. Should have black. I don't know about that, bro. I think Odell is kind of over the hill, my brother. All right. Japanese Hercules says, MT is going to either the Chiefs or the Bengals. Robert, what's up? Robert says, Q, honestly, can I get your opinion on how we play Michael Thomas? And what he says, honestly, can I get your opinion on how we play with Michael Thomas and without Michael Thomas? Well, we've been playing without Michael Thomas for a while, bro. And remember, it was a treat getting him for 9 games last year before we didn't get him anymore. He was upset because he felt like Carr threw a bad ball that got him hurt. Like he the way he threw it, the guy took a shot at him. He didn't like the placement of the ball in an area. And then James Jones came out because they were talking to Carr about it. And James Jones, he was on the show. I forgot who it was. I think it was Kate. I don't remember, but he was on the show. It wasn't Kate. It was some other reporter. And James Jones like, hey, you know what I did? I drop all over the place for the ball. I bet that pay you got. No, you ain't dropping. I'm like, man, stop tap dancing, bro. It happens. We played football before quarterbacks misplaced the ball. Derek Carr's accuracy was all over the place early on in the year and then in the middle of the year. We talked about him throwing the ball behind the wide receivers. We did film work on Patreon and showed him throwing the ball behind guys, misplacing the ball, throwing it too low, throwing it too high, throwing it where they had to stretch out into traffic or throwing it in a place where it was leading them into danger. You see what I'm saying? And the thing is, it's a responsibility that the quarterback have to not hang his wide receivers out and not get them tore up. Drew Brees used to talk about that. Like he would, it was about ball placement with Drew. He wouldn't necessarily throw the ball on you. What he would do is he would place the ball out front of you in an area where you can only get it. Or he would lead you or direct you in an area where either the wide receiver would catch the ball or it end up in an incompletion. He wouldn't put you in many cases in places where it would lead to your harm or it would lead the ball would get in the interception. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't perfect. But the majority of the time, he was perfect. He was accurate with where he placed the ball because he understood where they were going and to put the ball just ahead of him as opposed to putting it behind them or putting it, you know, in a place where they had to leap and leave themselves vulnerable to a safety shot. You see? And like I would say, he did that a lot because his accuracy was all over the place. His accuracy was all over the place. And my thing is, I know you're not perfect, but own it. Own it. Don't sit up here and pretend like, you know, well, I do that. I did. That's not the point, man. You know, that guy does too much of that, man. If you're making $150 million, people get on you, not because they want you to be perfect, but if you got to own your mistakes, man, you got to own that stuff, man. You got to own it as the quarterback. You got to own it. Some stuff you got to eat, even if it ain't your fault. You eat it because you're the leader of the team. You earn their respect when you do that. You got to eat it. Like Drew, there were games when we watched Drew Brees, and I'm not really comparing the two, but I'm just going to more of a positive example that we've seen in recent memory of good quarterback play where we knew Drew will go out there and he'll have a game where he'll throw two or three touchdowns, 300 yards. The Saints will lose the game, and Drew will come out and say, that's on me. I need to be more accurate. I need to do this. You know, and I need to get us in and out of our breaks faster. You know, we could have had some more time on the back end to make a play. He would come out and own all of that. And people love that, and they would step up and play for Drew. This guy don't do that. He don't do that all the time. He sits up here and he tries to, you know, deflect blame, and that's not going to earn you any love out here. But anyway, the Michael Thomas question from Brother Rob is like how we play with Mike Thomas and without Michael Thomas. Well, last year, the Saints had success playing with Michael Thomas and playing without him. Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed did a wonderful job. A.T. Perry stepped up. He handled the business as well. So there are several different components last year where you've seen the young wide receiver core come into place. And the Saints just have to find somebody else to come in there and kind of help out turn this thing. You know what I mean? All right. Rav says, Q, is Adams free this year? What if Carr asked him? I don't know if he's free this year, but boy, that's going to cost a lot of money. Even if he asks him, he probably going to have to ask him to take a pay cut. Cause I think that Adams guy is making, he's going to want big time bread to come here. And that's the thing about him. I don't know. What his contract? I know he got a huge contract. That's the whole thing with him. Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if I'm going to see if I could pull his contract up because, yeah, he signed a contract with the Raiders, what, in 2023? And what was it? Yeah, a five-year deal at $140 million. Huge, monstrous deal that he signed back in 2023. Yeah. Dude, a five-year contract. Well, they're saying, let me see if I could look at it here. This is a five-year, $140 million contract. This year is estimated at 16.8. I know they got to rework it, but the Raiders, man, look at this contract, fam. Look at this contract. We're just going to do this real time, right? Ramsey asking about it, so let's address it. Five-year, $140 million contract, man, this brother just signed here. right? Right now, we're in 2024. Look at that number on the base salary. It's 16.8 mil, right? They got an opt-out here after this year, too. So there's been a lot of stuff behind this. But 16.8, we know Mickey Loomis will probably dial it back. But look in 2025 and 26, it balloons from 16.8 to almost 35.6 million on both years in 25, 26. It's a monster contract. For that reason alone, I would have to say no. I don't think, unless he asks him, Brother Ramsey, to take a pay cut, that's that's probably all he could do, right? You know, he has to take a pay cut to be there, man. That's a monstrous deal. Super monster. All right, Rendell, what's up, bro? Say, what's up, Q? This is Rendell. I didn't know Carr was in the league that long. Yeah, he says, great breakdown on Carr. Yeah, bro, DA must go straight up. Yeah, I think it'll all take care of itself, fam. That's why I've been kind of telling the Who Dats. I know they kind of down on this upcoming season and not very optimistic because the Saints are not really, you know, have given the black and gold a lot to be optimistic about over the last 3 years, 3-9 playoff years. And my optimism going into this upcoming season, because I'm really not a person that believes in a Dennis Allen. I'm sorry, I don't. I gave him a chance, and I just don't like his backstabby, weaselly ways. I don't think that translates to long-term success in the NFL. I really don't. Perhaps if you backstab your opponents as opposed to your own team, or lie to your opponents as opposed to, see, it's a difference here. He's backstabbing his very own players. He's throwing his own players under the bus for rivals and apologizes to his rival, most hated rival. He lies to his quarterback with Jameis Winston. Yeah, I'm going to let you play. And then Jameis had to go out and talk to the media because he couldn't talk to Mickey Loomis because Mickey Loomis don't talk to nobody during the season because he ain't doing the evaluations. You know, but he'll have a speech at the end of the year when you lose and you don't make the playoffs. Next year, it's going to be rough on you guys. I'm going to make it less comfortable on you guys. Make it less comfortable. Who the hell you think you is? You need to start with yourself. Start making your own self uncomfortable. And that was really an elitist chump move by Mickey Loomis, which I've been telling y'all for a while now that Mickey Loomis is not really a general manager. He's more VP than he is general manager. I've been telling y'all that. And if y'all don't realize, I know a lot of the Who Dats do realize that a lot of the success that happened with him as a general manager was due to the fact that Sean Payton was telling him what to do. Now, don't get me wrong. He worked the contracts and created, you know, do this phantom deals and all this kind of stuff to get Payton's the players and the things that he needed. But when it came down to being a general manager hands-on, that's not him. This guy is not a general manager. He's not a real, he doesn't do evaluations during the season, which is totally stupid. How are you not doing in-season evaluations when in-season is all about in-season? Regardless of what you do out of season, it has to translate in-season. It's the most important aspect of the season. It's what you do during the season. And if you're not evaluating talent and checking the pulse of your team and see where the player's mindset is, if there's any friction between the players and the coaches, my door is open. Listen, you come here, I'll make sure we get it all straight. None of that. That dude don't do none of that. His door is closed during the year. And Cat Terrell even said that. You don't have much interaction with the players during the season, Mickey. What did you tell them at the end of the season? Well, that's between me and them. You know, that's none of your goddamn business. Well, she didn't say that, but, you know, got to throw that in there, you know. But nah, this guy's not really a general manager. He's been fully exposed. I done exposed this dude. This dude is totally not a general manager. It was all Payton, you know? So, you know, like I was saying, and when we talk about that, is you got to have some sense about the game, man, you know, with the DA thing and understanding that you can't have a head coach that throws his team under the bus, whether he felt that or not. That needs to be checked. You can't win with that type of energy, man. Go back. If you backstabbing the opponents or you throwing their players under the bus, that'll work for your team. But you can't do that to your own team and expect to go to have extended success. That's just not going to happen. And I can't get a so-called general manager to understand that, then we got problems here. Gervais says, damn, miss most of the hit that rewind button, my brother. Oh, yeah, John Lu Smith signed with the Dolphins. Okay, Dad, that's one less person we got to worry about. All right, Arvin says, I hope we release MT. The man has become a diva and had been injury prone the last few seasons, but I still like MT. And the thing is, I just want Mike Thomas, man. Wherever he goes, man, you know, more power to you, brother. More power to you. Japanese Hercules says, do we take a 1-year fly on Jamal Adams at safety? I actually like that, Jamal Adams. But I don't, you know, I don't think Jamal Adams would be that terribly expensive either. You know, the Jamal Williams thing, because I was hoping that the Saints would go after Jamal Williams. Jamal Adams some time ago before he went to the Seahawks when he left the Jets. But I don't think his contract, I think he's not a guy that's going to work for cheap. And plus he got an extensive, Jamal's just been in the league for 5 years, but he had those injury issues. You know, he had, a 4-year deal at about $70.5 million, which basically breaks down to what?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
$17.6 per year, and that was his contract with the Seahawks. I don't know. I don't know if that might be a situation where, I don't know. I don't think it'll be. I don't know. I don't think you can get him cheap, you know, and I'm not saying the Saints going to be bargain bin shopping, but I think Jordan Howden has done enough to kind of get them on that position. And I think the only people they're going to put there is like 1-year veterans, guys, not only Jamal Adams, who still has value as a starting safety. He's going to want starting safety type money, but guys like I said, Jordan, Jonathan Abram, Lonnie Johnson Jr., guys like that, like 1-year prove it deals for those type of guys that don't break the bank. So I can see them kind of reaching back to a Jonathan Abrams and bringing them back to the team. You know what I mean? I don't see expensive safeties in the Saints' future for whatever reason. I could be wrong, but I just don't feel that. What's up, Gundam? Shout out to you. Quaveda says, Brother Ross says that Simmons could be swayed by Marcus Robinson being his former coach in Denver to come to New Orleans. He knows Joe Woods too. Yeah, I ain't mad at that. But it's the money, you know what I'm saying? What does the money look like? And plus the fact that the Saints have to put money toward the most impressive or valuable of the position groups, which is the offensive line. We have to do that. We have to focus on the offensive line first. I think that's one of the biggest things, because if you don't do that, you're not going to have much success. We need a left tackle, a left guard. We need some depth there too. Gunner says, I'm good with Pratt. Accuracy is a little off during combine. It's concerning. He ain't have a great combine, bro, but watch his pro days, bro. I think he'll redeem himself when Tulane has his pro day, because his accuracy was there. If you watch him during the season when he played for Tulane, he was there. He had the accuracy, bro. Trust. And not just for 1 year. He did that over several years when he was healthy. He was a big help for the team. Brian says, have you seen the schedule options yet for the Saints for 2024? I have seen some of it, bro. Some of the options there. Travis says, Dallas Turner or an offensive tackle. I would have to go OT. Well, it depends, bro. It depends on what they do in free agency. If it's are we comfortable enough to start talking about doing stuff with drafting another offensive lineman, maybe the brother out of Penn State, a lot of people liking him. Joe Alt's not going to be there. The brother out of Penn State's going to be there. Talese Fuaga, he's probably going to be there. So we're going to see exactly where this all goes. All right. Derek says, Q, what's happening, bro? What's happening, my brother? How you doing, man? All right. Derek says, you're a lot of safeties. Yeah, really. There are a lot of safeties in play. I just don't know if, you know, those guys are for the Saints, depending on the money situation. Jack says, MT style of play gets them hurt when you get a half of yard of separation. You got guys on your legs and your feet as soon as possible. Remember, he made a career of that. In the first 5 or 6 years, four or 5 years when he was breaking those deals, he didn't have great game-breaking speed. Sorry about that, man. Internet reset on me. All right. So if y'all can hear me, put one in the chat, fam, if y'all can hear me here. And I'm going to just go ahead and answer a few more questions and close it out. Y'all let me know if y'all can still hear me in the chat. All right. Sorry about that, man. Damn thing reset. Okay, perfectly. Thank y'all, man. All right, so let's just finish up and then we'll get the hell on out, man. Shout out to the fam. All right, Divine, how you doing, sir? Says Carr won 10 games and clinched the playoff spot on 2021. Yeah, he lost that playoff game. Yeah, he does have, listen, I don't want to make it seem like he don't have no chance. You just need the right coach. Can't Clint Kubiak be the guy that finally takes him and takes his game to the next level? Like it shows, Jay, John Gruden, who's a no-nonsense coach that preaches accountability, he doesn't play any of that. So especially with his quarterbacks, he used to do the quarterback school. He knows the offense and he doesn't play around with the quarterbacks. And Carr had his best years under John Gruden because John Gruden wasn't letting him play and do all this excuse laden and all this type of stuff, making excuses and all that. He ain't coddle Carr either, you know, so. He pressed on him to get things done right, and he had some success. And I can include Clint Kubiak. I know he's not as brass as a John Gruden. You know, he's more a quiet, confident guy. But he, like he says, believe in making very stressful practices so that the game environment, when you get to the game, it's not as ruckus. You know, they can be able to handle all of the, you know, all of the stresses that come with game day experiences. So, I mean, that's something to be interested about, you know, so we'll see. Can he do that? Could he get Carr to go to the next level? If Carr is serious about winning and this guy is, perhaps he listens to him. And then, of course, we still have a situation where we're thinking about John Gruden eventually coming to the Saints as a coach. And I'm thinking more like a senior advisor because that position is still open. Don't forget that, you know. All right, Devon says Carr played the Bucs and Jameis Winston, y'all QB, and beat him too. Yes, indeed. All right. Slint Child says, facts, Allen is very wishy-washy. Him and Loomis destroying the team with friendships. That's why Carr came here with a big hit. The people let it be known. Yeah, he came in like he was the leader, like he was the savior. Derek Carr never done really saved anybody, took him to the next level. A lot of the stuff he did was basically regular season. He wasn't a guy that was a postseason phenom of any type. He'd been there one time, he lost. You don't put all of it on the quarterback, but a great deal of it falls on the quarterback. That's why they make that kind of money. And for him to make $150 million, and for them to just give him that type of money, like they were trying to give him the money from the floor, like he was the answer to all the Saints' questions, which, you know, he has talent, but you got to have the right person to bring the talent out of him. You know what I mean? That's what I think. Jack says, I wish MT would go gracefully because we should be hoisting his jersey. Don't worry about nothing. The stuff that's going on right now won't be remembered, bro. In several years from now, when Mike Thomas is quit playing the game and he hangs him up, the Saints will eventually take Michael Thomas, man, and put him in that Saints Hall of Fame. And he, you know, Michael Thomas' legacy is secured in terms of what I'm thinking down here. So, I mean, I hope him to have a lot of success, but it's tough to beat what he did in the several years he was with the Saints. I'm gonna be honest with you. Brian says, whatever happened to Gruden, he's on a team as a coach somewhere with the Saints, or is he has a court date in July. And there, after the July court date, we'll learn everything we need to know about John Gruden. But remember, the senior assistant position is still open, and I think that's for John Gruden. You know, we'll see. Arvin says, so what? Yeah, Carr is better than James, but I don't think he gets your point, the point you're trying to make. Now, it's Carr. Carr does have, the thing is too, man, the Jameis and Carr, man, are a lot similar, man. They really are, man. They are very similar. These guys, both of these guys are gunslingers. They both gunslingers, except Jameis is a lot more liberal in what he's doing. Like he believes in the wide receivers more, where he'll just throw the damn ball out there. He'll lay the ball out there. And he'll, you know, to the wide receiver and give him an opportunity to come down with the pass. But sometimes that gunslinger gets him in trouble. You know, he'll take shots like he'll throw it in the double and triple coverage sometimes. He might put too much arm on it. But that's what gunslingers do. You know, these are not guys that's going to be too terribly conservative with the ball. They'll be conservative, but up to a point till they get a shot downfield. And that's what they live for. you know, taking the top off the defense. So they mirror each other in a lot of ways. They really do, you know. And like I said, I think Jameis' personality is they love him down here because how he got a crazy kind of open mentality or whatnot. And Jameis is a guy that people love to play for because he's a cool, funny dude. He'll throw it off versus Derek Carr. I ain't saying Derek's not a bad dude. He's a smart dude, gives you a lot of word salad, too much word salad at times. Needs to take more accountability when he out there screwing up and this kind of stuff. But, you know, in the end, they are very similar. And like I said, they're both two gunslinging ass quarterbacks, man, that can sometimes get you in trouble. You know, but like I said, but Jameis is gone if they know that. All right. So anyway, let's keep it going. DLP 2600. What's up, fam? Says Texas nose tackle. Vondre Sweat in the middle of defense that's missing on his team. Saints run of defense has gotten worse every year since 2020. Last year, Saints were a top run defense. 6'4", 360, he gets doubled. Indeed, bro. I wouldn't be mad at that, man. I don't know if you get that in the first round. I don't know if you get that in the first round. Sweat, I don't know if you, I mean, in terms of like, I don't know. And the defense, and that's another point, man. You're like, we could talk about all this stuff, man, like with the defense and, but like how we talk about it and how they look at it is different. For instance, and I talked about this all the time, and now people say, Q, they're going to do this, that, and the third. And I'm like, I don't know. Like we talk about if the defensive tackle from Florida State's available. When the Saints draft, should they take him? And I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, you know, the Saints rank where they were in terms of sacks. You got a Cam Jordan that's getting up in years. He's, you know, 2 years remained on his contract. He got hurt last year, had two sacks or something like that. Granderson got his extension. He had like 8-something sacks last year. But the Saints put a lot of resources into the defensive line. Last year, they signed both. Kalen Saunders and Nate Shepard in free agency to replace King Tut and David Onyemata, you know, last year. Then they drafted Brian Bercy with the first round draft pick. That's three additions to the Saints defensive line. That's two starters, like that's two starters, the two veterans. Eventually, Brian Bercy will probably move Shepard out the way and it'd be Kalen Saunders, Bercy. With Shepard in the mix as a rotational interior defensive lineman, they still have Tanu Passanio who can play inside. They're playing him more inside than outside, which was a smart thing to do. But in the end, they gave Cam, you know, they gave Cam his money. They gave Granderson an extension. They drafted Brian Bercy. They added Saunders and Shepard, you know, and more than likely, what the Saints will end up doing in terms of the defensive line is probably picking up a veteran, maybe a veteran interior lineman to add with depth if they don't bring Malcolm Roach back, or perhaps getting a guy later on in the draft, you know. But that's how they look at it. Like, we've thrown resources at this team, and then on top of that, the defensive end position has a draft pick by the name of Peyton Turner, who's yet to prove what he is. And then you took last year, another defensive end from Notre Dame named Isaiah Foskey. So the Saints have these guys, Foskey and Turner, both high draft picks that they need to find out what they're made of. So when we look at, would you take this guy, that guy, I'm like, where would you put him at? Where the defensive end? Who else would he go? I'm like, when? Where are they going to, who are they going to take out of there to put him there? You paying Cam, you paying Granderson. You got Peyton Turner there. You got to find out what he can do. You got Isaiah Foskey. He has to get minutes. Where does he go? You see what I'm saying? And that's when you start getting down to it, because then you have to look at what's the most important situation that you got to take if you're looking at it with a first-round draft pick in the draft. What you looking at? You got to be looking at offense, because offense is the biggest thing that you need to get going when you got a whole new scheme that you're putting in place. Perhaps some of the guys that you have on your offensive line don't fit the type of scheme that's going to be put in. Perhaps you need to bring in more athletic offensive linemen. Perhaps those guys are not in the draft, or maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. Perhaps they're in free agency. Perhaps you want a guy that played in the scheme, so it's a shorter curve for him to get there as opposed to you drafting a guy to do it. Perhaps you don't want a left tackle out of the draft. Perhaps you get a tight end from Georgia that falls to you, that's called a tight end but doesn't really operate like a tight end, and he's there. Do you take him? So it's some things, man. Like I said, it's some things to think about there. But you got to look at the offensive line, whether it's in free agency, if they want a veteran to fill in some of those spots, or if they want to go from a draft pick standpoint, because it depends on how much money they can free up to be able to pay some of these people. Ken, how much money are the Saints going to free up after the restructurings? Are they going to have north of, you know, some people estimate between 15 to 20 plus million dollars in cap money getting ready for free agency? How much money are they going to have, and can they go after it? And of course, when we're talking about the cap don't exist, right? They could take the money and ball it down for the first shit and give him like a couple of $2 million and then explode his contract into the, I mean, Mickey Loomis can make that work. So I guess looking at it like that, you kind of have a lot of wiggle room to do it. But in terms of like offensive line, I think line is the biggest need, because you need somebody there to protect the blindside quarterback. Ryan Ramczyk had minor knee surgery when he needs major knee surgery. I don't think his knee problems are over with. You need insurance, an insurance policy for that.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.